Now, I'm joined in the studio by Sandy Brown of Legal Mediation, which is an independent provider of professional mediation services within Essex and London. Sandy's here to tell us about the business services that she provides and the Brentwood Business Awards. You first qualified as a solicitor.
Yes.
In 2001.
I did. As you've clearly done your research. Yes, I was a litigation solicitor in the city. I am still a solicitor.
Yeah.
But I'm mediating more than soliciting these days. So I worked as an insurance litigation solicitor. I loved what I did. There was conflict every day, but it was resolving conflict through the legal route.
You specialise in legal mediation. So for people who are not sure what that is and what's the difference between using a solicitor, how does it work? Who would use that service? Because you're split into two areas, which is workplace and family.
So if an employee feels they're being bullied, they have a couple of options. One of them is to go to an employment solicitor and explain their situation and find out if there is a way around it. They may first go to HR and have a discussion with HR. But what can really help is if the employer wants to resolve that issue with the employee, then they can try mediation, and that's where they would contact me and I would go in and I would sit down with the employer. It may be a manager who is seen as bullying the employee, and I would sit them both down and I would go through that mediation process with them. Could be bullying or performance issues or personality clash, any workplace issue. If the employee still wants to work at that place, they're more likely to voluntarily agree to mediation. So mediation is a voluntary process, and they would only choose that mediation step if they still wanted to continue working in that workplace and they wanted to resolve that issue amicably. And yes, you're right, it is a more wholesome approach to resolving that and to feel heard and understood. If they didn't want to stay there, then they would just leave and contact an employment solicitor.
And I would say in the first instance, if there's somebody out there that you're not happy at work or whatever problems you've got going on, even if it's not one of these massive big organisations that have an HR, there might only be four or five of you in the team.
Yeah.
You could still approach yourself.
Yes.
And say, I'm having problems. And if the boss refused, then obviously if it later down the line, if that goes elsewhere, then the employee has tried to actually get something resolved in the first instance.
Yes, that's right. So an employee can contact me or an employer. I do find that the work I do for workplace mediation often is with a company that have 10 to 15 employees. So they don't have a HR director or HR function, and they're looking to resolve that conflict quickly and without going through a number of meetings and costs. So that's where I find that employers do contact me to say, look, we've got an issue with an employee, can you come in? And because I'm independent, even though the employer's paying for that service of workplace mediation, I'm independent, and that puts the employee's mind at rest as well. But the employee can contact me, absolutely, and often employers do agree, as long as they know I'm independent, which I am. So for workplace mediation, generally, I would say 99% of the time, the employer will pay for the mediation.
Right.
The employee doesn't have to pay anything. Just because the employer's paying for that mediation, it doesn't mean that I'm sided with the employer. So it's really important that that's explained right from the start, that I am an independent person, even though the employer's paying for it. You don't get legal aid for workplace mediation.
Right.
So it's not, even if the employee was on low income.
What do you find with companies is the one thing that you deal with the most at work? Is it bullying, or is it just the lack of communication through somebody thinks somebody said something and really they didn't mean it that way, and then it just kind of snowballs into this massive problem?
Yes, often it is miscommunication, definitely. Lots of misunderstandings, as you described, that snowball out of control. So it can start off with, you know, who took my orange juice from the fridge, and it can escalate into bullying and harassment. And I say bullying in speech marks because bullying is subjective. If you feel you're being bullied, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a clear definition of what bullying is. There is a legal definition. People's perception of bullying differs. So I often find it's mainly lack of communication. Sometimes it's the workplace processes and systems cause and also encourage that conflict to take place. So I often find after I've resolved a workplace mediation, I often find that some systems or processes will be changed as a result of me going in. But I do get a range of issues. It generally always comes to me as discrimination, bullying, harassment, performance-related issues. But when I drill down to the details, it's often just a lack of communication or someone not feeling heard and understood. They're not getting the point across.
Workplace is one thing, family is another. Lots of families in the UK split up. You've got children, property, dogs,
yes,
cats.
Yes.
What areas do you help with regards to family mediation?
Family mediation, absolutely everything. So when two people decide to separate or go through a divorce, I help them navigate them through that process to sort out the finances, children arrangements, and pets, as you mentioned as well.
Yeah.
Because your pets can cause all sorts of issues. You know, you're not having the dog. You can have the child overnight, but you're not having the dog. And it just varies. Different things are important to different people. Family mediation is actually really important to me. I've been through a separation and divorce myself, and I understand the need for family mediation. Family mediation does help people to resolve that conflict without going down the legal route, and to do so while still remaining amicable, or at least have some kind of co-parenting relationship. So you've decided you're going to divorce and separate. You need to sort out the finances. My job is to help them to get them from where they are to where they want to be as quickly and as effectively as possible, and obviously less cost. And I don't think people deliberately want to use children as weapons, but it sometimes can be perceived that way because they are so angry or they are so upset or emotional. And I often describe this diagram. It's a circle of two people going through a divorce. One person may be in the angry state, another person may still be in an upset state, and they will move round to acceptance or denial and back to anger again and upset. And people are in different stages of that cycle, and they'll go round and round several times. But my job is to really get to the nub of the issue. If they are stuck on an issue, whether it's finances or children, why is that? What's really important to them? So on the surface, it may seem, oh, you can't have little Johnny and you can't have the children this weekend. It may seem unfair, but what is the real issue there? And it's often because people are still hurt.
And also trying to keep control.
Yes, people want certainty and control, especially when they're going through the most uncertain time of their life. Yeah. Going through a divorce, they don't know where they're going to live. Do they have to sell the house? Where the children are going to live? How they're going to provide for them? So they want that control and certainty. So when they come to me, they are often in a very different emotional state. I rarely get two people who are both angry or both upset at the same. One will be upset, one will be angry. And it's about trying to get them to understand each other and apologise if needs be, if they feel they need to.
Yeah.
So I always, depending on the situation, I always allow for some uninterrupted speaking time. So sometimes they can be at loggerheads with each other, and mediation is the first opportunity they've had to sit down in the same room with a mediator who's going to facilitate that conversation. And it's like, okay, let's just stop for a moment and reassess where we are and correct any misunderstanding. So it may well be, look, you know, we are going through this divorce, but actually a few weeks ago I said X, Y, and Z to you. I didn't mean it. I was wrong. I do apologize. Still want to go through the divorce and separation, but I feel I should apologize for that. And that can just break the ice. It can just really reset everything. And I often find that really helps, that uninterrupted speaking time where you get an opportunity to correct any misunderstandings, maybe apologize, or maybe just say you regret doing X, Y, and Z, because apologies are difficult. Not everyone wants to apologize. So with workplace mediation, normally the employer provides the venue. I normally ask for a couple of meeting rooms, and the employee has that day off. They have the opportunity to really think about why they're in this conflict and get them from where they are to where they want to be as quickly as possible. But it's normally at the employer's venue or an independent venue.
Yeah.
I can source a venue, that's not a problem. With family mediation, I hire the Regis meeting rooms in Brentwood and also hire some meeting rooms in London. And again, it's a safe space. They have a reception area, and so people can feel comfortable in that safe space.
Now, you've also worked, I've got, like, because it's banks, financial institutions, university, schools, hospitals, charities.
Yes.
I won't name any.
You have done your research.
Yes. So you've got lots and lots of clients, and you're also recommended by lots of local solicitors as well.
Yes, I'm really, really proud to say that after quite a few years of mediating, most solicitors, family solicitors and unemployment solicitors do recommend me to their client. I think that there's a number of reasons for that. Mediation is now well known and it's proven to be an effective way to move on. But also I think it does help when a solicitor sends a client to me and the client goes back and gives that positive feedback.
Yeah.
The solicitors have that confidence in me that they can send some clients and they will get to from where they are to where they want to be.
Because everything, more or less, you can resolve.
You can. People will be surprised. People say, oh, no, this case is not suitable for mediation.
Mm.
How do you know till you've tried or at least had a chat with the mediator? I always say, I really encourage people to just be open-minded and have a chat with the mediator. Find out what mediation is and what it can do. If effectively, in workplace mediation, it saves employers thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
It saves time and of people going off sick, you know.
Yeah.
When someone's in a conflict at work, they often just go off sick, and that then puts pressure on the rest of the team. Also, getting an employment solicitor involved can be costly, and all the meetings and the emails, whereas if you just have a workplace mediator parachute themselves in, who's independent, sits down with both employees or employee and manager or manager and manager, and actually talk about what the issue is and resolve that issue. And workplace mediation is always successful because it is a voluntary process. So you're only going to attend if you know that there is a chance that it could be resolved.